yes, He's good all the time. God is good, yes He is, He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while, He's good all the time. Oh, our God is good, yes He is, He's good all the time. God is good, yes He is, He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find. Oh, heaven have you believe that tonight? Well, I said my God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. Sing it one more time like you believe it. Oh, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. Said my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search this whole world over.
Oh, yes.
No greater friend you'll find.
Well, He's not good
just once in a while.
He's good all the time. Oh, do you believe me with all your heart? Do you believe me with all your heart? Are you convinced that God is good all the time? Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? What a privilege it is to be in the service tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord, tell him you're glad to see him in church on Wednesday night. Brother, play some more of that. Wait, let's believe. Let's sing it again, church. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. Oh, God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. Well, now He's not good
just once in a while.
He's good. You've got to sing it one more time with all your heart. I said, my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. I know God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
This whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find.
Well, now He's not good
just once in a while.
He's good all the time. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good all the time and all the time. Oh, you can beat that. God is good all the time and all the time. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. He's good all the time. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know this. I'd be in a terrible, terrible shape without Him. How about you? What would your life be without Jesus? Be an empty life. Be a life of void. No, nothing to look to. Nowhere to turn to. I'm glad we know Him tonight. I'm glad He knows us. I'm glad I love Him. I'm glad He loves me. I'm glad I love you. I hope you love me. Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. He's good. Oh, I said my God is good. Yes, He is. Hey, buddy.
Search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
Hallelujah. He's not good once in a while, but He's good all the time. You gotta sing that one more time. I said my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is.
He's good all the time.
Well, you can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. Oh, you may search the whole world.
Oh, over, yes, you can.
And no greater friend you'll ever find. 'Cause He not good just once in a while.
Oh, but He's good all the time. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forevermore. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. We'll remember, Linda Whitehead sends this in. We'll remember her brother, Joy Britt. He's in the hospital for surgery, but at this time he is too sick to have the surgery, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Mac's niece, Dorothy. The doctor has found a hole in her heart, and they said she needs open heart surgery, so we're asking that you would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Terry Tidwell wants us to remember his wife, Sister Vicki Tidwell. She started her chemo therapy treatments today, and they're just asking that this assembly would remember her in prayer. Also, there was a sister, Helen from Canada, wants us to remember her daughter, Stephanie. She is currently in South America, returning home, I believe, on Tuesday, needs a healing touch from the Lord. And they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Also, Brother Gary Hara wants us to remember his friend, Pete. He is currently at the emergency room with him right now, so we certainly want to pray for that prayer request that the Lord will be mindful of these things. I want to pray for Brother Gary Hall, who's still having chest pains and heart trouble. Sister Jan Hall sends that in. Sister Barbara Grabley wants to thank God that the lump that was in her breast is gone after prayer was made by the saints of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to remember Brother Eddie Jablonski's grandmother. She has to have a hernia surgery, so they're asking that we would remember that tonight. So just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Tony Walker. That's Brother Skip's brother. He's been taken to the med center for evaluation. Most of all, pray for the salvation of his soul. Just ask God to be mindful of that request tonight. Brother Raymond Vega says to please pray for Sister Lillian. The bones in her legs, arms, and shoulders are causing her a lot of pain. She is suffering from severe headaches, so we want to remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Geraldine Yance. Her blood sugar is low, so let's pray that the Lord would give her strength tonight. Brother Phil Horniak sends this in to
please pray for a little six-month-old baby with a brain tumor. This has been requested by a relative, so we just want to commit that to the Lord and ask God to be mindful of that situation. We've got a lot of serious needs, but we're serving a God that don't worry about none of them. His will be done on every one of them. Is that right? You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight? We'll just commit these things unto the Lord and ask God to be mindful of all these situations. Do you believe God's able tonight? Somebody say, I believe God's able. Brother Burt, would you come tonight, take these needs to the Lord? Let's invite His presence into this service. Ask Him to have His divine will on all these prayer requests tonight. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Father, just as was mentioned, Lord, You're not worried about anything because You've already made a way, Lord. And we just thank You for that. We're just acknowledging each of these before You. It's a privilege, Lord, to come together and be able to gather in Your name like this in the truth of the hour. Lord, the true God called ministry and washing us free of every hindrance, Lord, and releasing our faith, Lord, when we come together and bring these before You. Lord, we're even commanded to do so, but Father, we love to do it, to bear one another's burdens, and we know with certainty that You have already made a way and You are working, and we're fulfilling our part, Lord, by acknowledging these in faith before You right now, that we're going to hear testimonies, Lord. We know You're mindful of everyone. We want to have compassion and feel the situation in our heart, Lord. Know and understand that we all suffer these things, many afflictions, Lord, but You have delivered us out of them all, Lord. And we thank You for that. We're just acknowledging right now, Lord, asking, knocking, seeking. Lord, may You move in every one of these situations for Your glory, Father. Move each one forward into the completed work that You've ordained for them, Lord. We thank You, Father. Now have Your way in the service, Lord. Visit with each heart, Lord. Give us strength to rise up into the realms that You deserve tonight, Lord, to glorify Your name with completely yielded heart and mind unto You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to them. And we're glad to have a stranger back in town with us tonight. God bless you. Amen. Certainly glad to have Brother Donnie and Sister Carol home. I know they had some wonderful times while they were away, but we're sure glad they're home, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. Psalms 3. Aren't you glad that He's the lifter up of your head? Do you ever get weary? Yes, you do. But aren't you glad you got somebody to pick you up? Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it tonight. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Many there be increased that trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice.
Sing it to Him, church.
He heard me out of His holy heat. I lay me down and I slept. When I awakened,
Oh yes, Father.
It was the precious,
precious
Holy Ghost
that
sustained me.
Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
You are the
glory,
you are
the lifter of my head. Yes, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons.
Oh, that's right.
Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me.
Oh, let's sing it to Him now. Oh, for Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, Thou, O Lord, art a shield. Lifter of my head.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons.
Oh, thank you, Father.
That encamp themselves against me round about.
I want you to sing in that church. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
You're the glory, you are the lifter of my head.
Give Him a big hand, have a praise tonight. Praise the Lord, Brother John. Brother John, y'all come on and get ready. Y'all come on, get ready to sing. Let's sing a little chorus while Brother John Cogman and Brother John Linichek, they have us a song tonight. But let's sing this little chorus tonight just as they get ready. We're working on a building. And you know what? The further we go, the more complete this building gets. Aren't you glad He's completing the work in you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this as they get ready to sing tonight. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I would do.
Oh,
I'd keep right on preaching and I'd work on the building.
Oh, we're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for us at this time.
Let me tell you real quickly about this instrument. This is a viola that was made, it's handmade, for Sister Hannah Linichek by her uncle about 10 years ago. And it's, let me tell you, the man that made this was an artist. This is a wonderful instrument. I'm not a viola player, and I won't be able to do it justice. But Brother John and Sister Hannah asked me if I'd play a song on it, and I would love to do that. I'm going to back up Brother John on a beautiful song here.
One pair of hands formed the mountains. One pair of hands formed the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and moon. Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith in that one pair of hands. One pair of hands healed the sick. One pair of hands raised the dead. One pair of hands calmed the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith in that one pair of hands. Said I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith in that one pair of hands. Put your faith in that one pair of hands.
Message in that song, isn't there? Amen. The way I look at it, if a man would be able to take wood and strings and all that sort of thing and make an instrument by which that beautiful music could come out of, I wonder what God can do with the life of a human being. Be able to take a spirit, a soul, a body, be able to make it, polish it, tune it just exactly right. Put it into the right hands to be able to strike across through there. What would it play? The message of this hour, of course. Let's stand together. Certainly nice to be back in this cold country again. Oh, y'all think it ain't cold, but it's fixing to be tomorrow. But me and Carol brought y'all at least one more nice day from Arizona before this hits you. Honestly, I was teasing you about it before I left how nice it was going to be, but when we got out there, it was so nice and so warm, we started feeling bad, really. Here you were, 6 below 0, snow, sleet, all that sort of thing, and it was so hot out there. I mean, it was just... Amen. God bless you. Certainly nice to be back home. I wouldn't move out there if they'd give me a house. Why? This is where I belong, right here. Amen. Home is where God puts you. God puts us in a place. He gives us there. We're so happy to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. Brother Wes is going to come and bring to us what the Lord's placed upon his heart today. We want to just pray for him. Just open our hearts. How many has a need in your life, or needs as in plural? We know the Lord is mindful of us, isn't he? No doubt Brother Wes has studied and he's applied himself and got scriptures and quotes and notes and things there. And a man with the gift of God in his life, he gets a general direction from God. But sometimes God doesn't finally really tune and hone that sermon in to actually there before the people. And you'll lay things out, put them in a certain order. But when you get there, the Spirit of God will begin to move and manipulate those quotes and those scriptures. You think they're in perfect order when you put them together and you print them out. But somehow your needs will begin to pull that gift around this way and that way. Oh, I'm so glad that Happy Valley Church has learned that years ago, that you have such a great part to play in the service. It's not just the preacher that brings it in his, what I call, grief case. But you have a great portion to do in every service. Let's pull tonight, shall we? Let's sing together, Touching Jesus. Our brother comes, and he comes to receive from the Lord, and we won't believe the Lord is mindful of us. Let's sing it together. Now remember, no matter what great things we ever know about God, how deep we think we know we are, we want to always be able to touch him by our faith that the Spirit of God can be able to move in our lives at any time, under any situation. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way.
I'd like to thank Brother Donnie for giving me this honor. And this, it's, you know, when I found out he was going to be back tonight, it was kind of hard on me. My human nerves are settled down pretty good right now, pretty good, because the Lord showed me, you know, on the way here, and then Brother Donnie confirmed it as we spoke back there in the study. The Lord, you know, I was kind of down in the mouth. I was saying, Lord, I don't even compare. They're going to string me up. They're going to want to hear him instead of me. And I know that the kind of faith is here knows that you can pull on the Lord. And he knows whoever's here. So that's what we're trusting in tonight. And, you know, for Brother Donnie, when he's not here and he gets another minister to come to feed his sheep, feed the sheep that he's responsible for, you know, that's a scary thing for him. Because if I were to get up here and say something wrong, he has to fix it. But it's even scarier for me. Because if he has to fix it, I've got to amen it and go right along with it. So I just trust that we all love each other enough and that you all love me enough to pull. And to put me aside and not even think about me, but think about your need. Think about what the Lord has for you tonight.
Sure.
And just really pull on him. And really pull on him and trust him. We've had a couple of losses here. And, you know, Sister Gail and Sister Susan, and they were such sweet souls. And I have to admit, I really feel the loss.
Yeah.
I was telling some of the folks that sit around me there, you know, Sister Susan would catch me out there, and she would tell me she was going to be praying for me. And she prayed for the youth. And she really was sincere. And she would tell me things, you know, the way the Lord had dealt with her based on, you know, things that we had said. And you know, there's these people around us that we might not notice very much that are mighty giants, prayer warriors, people that really, you know, that really make up the backbone parts of the body that may not even be seen. And I need somebody to take up the slack for these sisters that prayed so hard for us, and Brother Donnie needs it, and all the ministers need it. So maybe if you've not been there and you've not been in that position where you felt it, maybe the Lord will impress it upon your heart, because it's so important to the body to have those prayer warriors that maybe nobody recognizes.
Amen.
If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. For our opening scripture. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to really focus on that, all scripture. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, athletes in the locker room get worked up. Football players slap each other on the shoulder blades and or the shoulder pads and bang their heads together, do all kinds of things to get riled up and ready for the game, ready for the fight that's ahead of them, and they get all worked up. Lord, my own earthly father told me one time that he saw a preacher one time before a funeral, rubbing his eyes to make it appear as though he were crying, working up a fake anointing, Lord, a devilish anointing to fool the people and to try to stir the people up in their emotions instead of lighting the fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, all I have to do is sit and think of you, my Lord Jesus, and think about what you've done for me, and think about the things that you've done to come and get me gently and tenderly and carefully so not to break me before my time. And I just thank you for it so much, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here tonight, Lord. And the devil's been fighting me in my mind, telling me that this is something they don't need. He's been telling me that, and telling me that, and telling me that, but I don't believe it, because I know that you're in charge. And I'm just asking you right now to just set me aside. Set anything, any part of my personality that might get in the way, set that aside, Lord, and speak to your children and feed these sheep, Lord Jesus. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you're going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you all. In the secular, I call them secular, that's kind of funny. In the denominational churches, a lot of the churches these days claim to be so-called New Testament churches. Anybody ever heard a church that claimed to be a New Testament church? Lots of them. They claim that law has been done away with and that they're under grace.
Amen.
There's a lot of truth to that. But, I've been challenged by people before. My own earthly father came to me and he said, Wes, he said, you're making a big mistake. He said, this Holy Roller church you're going to, he said, you're making a big mistake. He said, I want you to slow down. He said, I want you to think about this.
Yeah. Come on, preach it, brother.
I want you to think about it.
I guess you have.
He said, Amen, bro. He said, look at what you're dragging your family into. He said, look at your poor wife. And I thought, she looks more beautiful to me now than she ever has before. And I felt so bad, though. It was such a mixed emotion. You know, I lost my father recently, and he never did really come to fully understand, but he did come to respect what he saw in us. He really did. And you all were part of that, because when he came here to visit, he saw the lives that you live, and he knew that there was something that was different, but in a good way. And so I want to thank you for that. But the church I grew up in, and many, many churches around us, are becoming a draw. They're becoming a pull on the people. The people who are being led away by the devil. And so, you know, the Lord's going to raise a standard to stop that. He always does. He's not going to lose one of us. He's not going to lose not a single one of us. So he's going to raise up a standard. But they claim that the Old Testament is done away with. And they claim that all they have is the New Testament. The Old Testament, when I grew up, they rarely ever, except in Sunday school, when they told us the Bible stories in story format, they very rarely ever preached out of the Old Testament. But that's a mystery to me, why somebody would think that could even possibly be right, because if you look at the New Testament writers, where do they fail to do that? Constantly referring back. Constantly, over and over and over, to identify us, to help us to identify ourselves, so that we can see ourselves, and we can see our faults, and we can see the areas where we need to go to, and where we need to improve, so, to avoid the pitfalls of this life. Now, in Earnestly Contending for the Faith, Brother Branham says, the book of Jude, it was written in A.D. 66, 33 years after Pentecost. Believed to be thought of as Jude, he calls himself the servant, yet he was the brother, Foster, of Jesus Christ. His brothers first didn't believe on him, but after a while they did, and Jude is a prophet. For his little short letter here, which was recognized by the church to be inspired, he was a prophet. And he was foretelling here and correcting the church. Now this is the part I really want you to get. And it was written to all the churches throughout the age, and I believe specifically to this church of this age. Now, Brother Donnie, the last time he preached out of the book of Jude, thrilled me so much I could barely keep my limbs attached to my body while I sat there and listened to it. It's amazing, but I'm hoping that the Lord will just lead us a little different angle, maybe show us a little something different. It's very intimidating having to follow that act, but let's go with it anyway. It's not a competition, is it?
No.
Okay, in the book of Jude, let me back up a second. I'm still trying to calm down, so pray for me. Okay? I keep seeing him right here in the prayer for me. The book of Jude is one of my favorite books. One of the things about me is I just love hard preaching. I adore hard preaching. I suck it up like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. I just love it. Nothing thrills my soul more than for a preacher to come down an avenue, and I'm down there on one of those little side streets, and he comes over and catches me and pulls me right back where I need to be. Corrects me, straightens me up, brings me back to the truth, centers me up again. There's nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. But there's a spirit alive and well in this day that is totally against that. That hates it, that can't stand correction, can't stand strong preaching, can't stand the truth, actually hates God. Okay, because of course it's the spirit of the devil. It's an old spirit, and we're going to go into that tonight. But Jude was a hard preacher. And that's what I love about him so much. I really love hard preaching, because it was hard preaching that delivered me. It was truth that set me free. And it can set you free tonight. There's people in here tonight that aren't born again. I hate to say it, but I mean, that's just the way it is. There's three kinds in here. So there's people in here that aren't born again that need to be. That the only thing that will set them free, the only thing that will lead them to a new birth is the truth. You can't get a watered down gospel and do much with it. Sometimes the Lord can work through it if He's working you in and He's gently pulling you like He did me. I had a tape that I made when the Lord first started dealing with me, that I made a music tape. And it was, and I put on the tape, I labeled it, I found it several months ago, and I was listening to it and I laughed because it was pretty funny. I put Christian music on it. I had songs like Jesus Is Just All Right, Stairway to Heaven. Stuff like that was on that tape, and I thought, man, the Lord's been so gentle with me. You know, he went way out on the limb to the very the thread thin branches to reach out and grab a hold of me, and I saw that and I just thought, well, you know, the church I grew up in was so liberal and there was so much like that, but there was something in me that loved hard preaching, that just loved it. It would change me when nothing else would. When everything else was just mamby-pamby, and I'd leave the same way I came in, and there was no change. And, you know, it was just wonderful. But anyway, here, we'll go into Jude for just a second. Jude chapter 1. Well, there is only one chapter, so. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Of course, you have to understand that, you know, that this, the way this is worded can be confused if God's not revealed himself to you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost to show you this, if you don't have good preaching like we've got to make it clear. This is an Eastern book with an Eastern mentality. I work with Eastern doctors at Woodridge, and believe me, they're really different. There's a Hindu doctor there who totally believes in Jesus. He worships him right along with the other 10,000 gods that he's got. And he's a very nice man. He knows more about Christianity and more about being a good Christian than a lot of denominational Christians I know. And anyway, Brother Branham says in Queen of Sheba, he said, when I went into Bombay, India, and many of the other places, they are not Archbishop of Methodist Church, and them met me there at, when they had garlands and everything hanging out. And they said, well, Brother Branham, don't come here saying you're a missionary. Said, we know more about the Bible than you Yankees will ever know. And and that's about the truth. Now that kind of shocked me when Brother Branham said, well, that's about the truth. Yes, it's an Eastern book. Well, it's, if you ever go to the East and study the Bible, it's a brand new book than what you read of it here in the West. We try to make an Eastern book compare with the Western way of living. You can't do it. The parables and things are just perfect. They're still there. And they had the Bible 2,000 years before we, as a nation. So there you are, see?
Amen.
Now that's kind of humbling when you think about it. Okay, first of all, as Americans, we like to think of ourselves as rigid and tough and freedom loving, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. And we're the ones who broke off from England and told them what they could do with their taxes and became an independent nation. We're very independent minded, very strong willed, stubborn, hard headed people. And Jude is talking about this age specifically. So we have to really pay attention. So anyway, we go on over into the book of Jude. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied.
Amen.
See, this is the heart of a hard preacher, isn't it? This is one of the hardest preachers in the Bible, and here this is how he starts out. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why are they having to earnestly contend when in the faith that was delivered to the saints was just 33 years ago? Just 33 years goes by and he's saying, hey, I need to remind you, you're going to have to fight for this. Just because your mom and dad have got it doesn't mean you don't have to fight. You're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to earnestly contend. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Wait a minute, what did he just say? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So these false preachers were predestinated to be what they are. Why is it that some people have a hard time with predestination to the positive, but they have no problem with predestination to the negative? Now you might think I'm being sarcastic. You might think I'm being mean. I didn't believe predestination the way Brother Donnie was preaching it. And none of you all knew it. I sat here and prayed and prayed and prayed and said, Lord, show me. Please open my eyes if he's right or not, because I know if he's not right, then something's coming. There's something going to come, brother. I'm going to have to come talk to you. I'm going to... And I might end up leaving, and I've already been kicked out of, you know, the Baptist church. What will I do if I get kicked out of this? I'm not sure where I'm going. And I thought, I just did not see it. And I could not grasp it. And so instead of getting upset, instead of confronting Brother Donnie, I started praying. I thought, okay, I'm going to commit myself to prayer. And I'm going to appeal to the Lord. So I appealed to the Lord, and I waited, and I waited. I'm not good at waiting when it comes to doctrine. If I think you're wrong on your doctrine, I'm pretty much going to be right there in front of you pretty quick. And the Lord told me to wait, so I waited. And it went on and on and on, and I came in here one Sunday, and I said, okay, Lord, this is the last time I walk through those doors if you don't show me something today. I said, I've waited and waited and waited, and you said if a man gets off that word, you get away from that man, I'm going to get away from him. And I didn't want to, brother, because I love you more than you can ever imagine. But I came in here, and the Lord split it wide open that morning. It was like the whole sermon was just for me. He gave me a revelation. He gave me a revelation. So the true children of God, and yes, I'm calling myself a true child of God. I'm just not going to make any bones about it. It's exactly right. And they're willing to pray, to wait, to watch, to not build up some kind of animosity or something. A lot of times when there's something you think you disagree with a little bit, then you'll start picking on everything the man says. And then before you know it, you're kind of mad at him. If you let yourself. I didn't let that happen. But it was only the grace of God that allowed me. I mean, a few years earlier, at that level of maturity, I would have bulldozed right in that office and done something stupid, said something, you know, probably gave him, you know, he would have had to talk stern to me, and I would have gotten upset about it. Who knows how it would have ended? So anyway, the Lord showed me I was the one that was wrong. Americans, sometimes you're wrong. Okay? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Yes. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now this Eastern book that's hard to understand just showed you one God right there if you're looking at it right. So if you don't see one God when you look there, don't be stubborn about it. Pray. Ask God to show you, because that's one God. Lasciviousness, what is that? It doesn't sound very good. It sounds like something a snake would say, doesn't it? It's basically the description of lasciviousness is lewd, wanton, unruly, lustful, lecherous, sexually impure. The young people would call it a creeper, you know. All right. And take on the whole armor of God, Brother Bram says. So today, these great intellectual spies are too much for the poor, humble children of God. Now, Jude said in the book of Jude, last of Jude there, he said that they have creeping, in among us, creeped in. That's what's causing it, causing to go out in these big tantrums that they've done. Creeped in among us, men foreordained to this condemnation, creeped in among us, drawing us away from the word, causing us to lose faith in the word, wandering spots, ships without sails. The rushing wind could blow, and they just got an old dead organization pole standing there going, woo, days of miracles is past, woo. No such thing as divine healing. But if you've got a real spiritual cell setting up there, the Spirit picks it up, and away across she goes into lands that they know nothing about. That's right. Yes. Causing you to lose faith in the Word by their polished up seminary experiences. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Why does he have to put us in remembrance of this? Why does Jude have to warn this age, specifically this age? Don't miss that. It's specific to this age. Why does he have to warn us that after he brought them out of Egypt, they were destroyed? Why? Let's go on. We'll find out a little more. These spirits never die. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Amen. Now the Lord lovingly and carefully made these angels. When he made the angels, he became an object of worship. He became God.
Sure. Amen.
They had been with him through who knows how many eons of time. Who knows how long they had been with him. Who knows how long he had showed them his love.
Amen.
Who knows how long it had gone on that he had been kind to them. And when they turned on him, judgment fell.
Amen.
And because of arrogance, because of puffed up pride, because of our Western minds, we have a hard time believing that anything bad will ever come at us as an individual. We think that we can get away with a lot. It's something that we have to really, really take note of and be careful of. Because you never fool God. You can't fool him. He knows everything. You can't fool him. You can fool me, but you can't fool him.
Amen.
Let's go on here just a minute. Y'all keep praying now. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities.
Amen.
Sodom and Gomorrah was set there for an example, and this country ignores it. The preachers of the denominations ignore it. Some of these denominations accept homosexuality. The homosexual agenda, which some people claim is a myth, is not a myth. They've got symbols that stand for them. They've taken the rainbow. This makes me sick. This absolutely. They took a symbol that said, where God said, okay, I'm not going to destroy the world with water again. And they took it and they said, well, this means God loves us and he's not going to destroy us anymore. And they use it. They put stickers on their cars. You go up to these parking areas where you get on the trails like the Appalachian Trail and stuff, and they go up there and meet, and they know each other by the sticker on their car of a rainbow. You think Sodom and Gomorrah? Did they get by with it? What is it about this? What is it about this country? What is it about the so-called religious leaders that makes them think that they're going to get away with this? The truth is they don't really believe in God. They believe in religion. We've gotten so far from God in this country that we can't even recognize him in action on the world scene. This stuff that we're seeing, like Netanyahu yesterday, the speech he gave, first dose of common sense anybody's heard in a long time, it is foreign to people. It's gone. This is an insane age. Everything Brother Branham said has absolutely come to pass and is absolutely true. We're getting to something here. Over in James, his brother, amens him right here. I want to hit this just a second. Likewise, well, let's start in verse 8 first. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. This is where I'm starting to get riled up. James comes in, another one I love. I love James. Man, you talk about hitting you square in the mouth. This man, he'll light you up. Chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Are we Christians?
Amen.
Are we made in the image of Christ?
Amen.
Are we born again of the Spirit?
Amen.
Then how can we slander each other and tear each other down? How is that possible? You all think I'm picking on you? Let me go a little step in a different direction. How can a preacher who stood in the pulpit and fought the battle, when you stand in this pulpit, and you fight the battle, and you bring the Word of God, you would not believe what goes through your mind. You would not believe what comes against you. You've heard about it. You've heard it talked about. But let me tell you something. Somebody who just in their own mental conception thinks, well, maybe I'd like to be a preacher. If they knew what went through your mind and what you went through just to get out here, and what goes through your mind while you're preaching the Word, while you're reading the Word, the devil's bombarding you with things that it would blow your mind. Most of you would run out the door crying. I about guarantee it. It's the truth. It's a pressure like nothing you've ever known. But when God calls a man, he makes him able to do it somehow. How can a man who's come that way, who's called by God, who knows the battle and knows how it is and knows what a man goes through, how can he stand in a pulpit and run somebody down for their personality, for their haircut, for their suit? How can he do it? How can he run him down? Some little personality thing that they see as a flaw. How can he run him down? The Holy Ghost doesn't do that. The Holy Ghost in a man will not do that. I've always had trouble with identification. Constantly looking at how am I identified with Christ. Constantly checking, constantly looking. When I started looking at Jude, I can't look at the book of Jude without going crazy. I have to really focus in and pray and meditate on it and think about it, because the last thing on earth I want to be is one of these creeps that creepers in. That's the last thing on earth I want to be. I've told God I don't know how many times, Lord, if I'm wrong and I don't know it and I'm ignorant of it and I'm wrong and I'm not supposed to be doing this, then just kill me. Get me right first, but kill me. You know? Just kill me. Just take me out. I was going to the cleaners to drop this thing off. And last night, and I said, Lord, you could kill me on the way to the cleaners. If I'm not right, if I'm about to bring something that's not right, you could just kill me on the way to the cleaners and save everybody a lot of trouble. And I'm not joking. I'm not saying this to be cute. I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. I was sincere. Because the last thing on earth I want to do is deceive somebody. I love my Lord so much. I cannot express to you what he has done for me. I sat right here in this congregation, just right over there, possessed with a demon the first time I came in here to get baptized. That demon was cast out by the preaching of the word. None of y'all knew anything about it. wasn't real dramatic, but I knew about it. I knew all about it, brother. I've never been the same since. And I can't help it. I have to tell you about that just about every time I get up. But I still, it's the truth. It's the truth. And I love my Lord. He's been so patient and so loving and so kind. And He has led me all the way. And I look at His order. And I say, what a magnificent thing that you would have this perfect order set up. You have this perfect order set up. And you have these ministers in place, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking the very words of God, the very words of life, right to us. Things that deliver us and change us. I tell you right now, if you're sitting there and you've not been delivered, you can be. If you just believe. If you just set aside your humanity for just a second and say, Lord, take me. You just lay yourself at this altar and just give yourself to Him. He can do something with you. If you wonder if this is true or not, how can it really be? Do they get up there? Why do they get up there and scream? I don't want to go up there and do that. Lay yourself at this altar and give your life to Jesus Christ and watch what He can do with it. I promise if you'll relent, if you'll surrender, if you'll just give yourself to Him, He can change you forever. And you'll come back. You'll never be the same again. Never. Am I lying, Brother Isaac? Can I get a witness right here? This is God that we're talking about. This is God, the author of life. He's my King. Man, I love Him. Now we're going to go into the dark side a little bit more. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yeah. See, this is something we still, as Americans, we have to throw away that American mind and take hold of this and let the Spirit guide us, because we can't understand this. We've got, as Americans, that spirit that's on us is, I'll tell you something right now, buddy. If God had sent one of us instead of Michael, He would have blessed him out. He would have had no respect at all. And you say, what are you talking about, respecting the devil? No. God made him, though. And this is all God's plan. And this was, even though he's an angel, you could say a child of God. You could say it that way, I guess. I'm not going to go into Michael much. That really scares me. That territory scares me. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring an accusation, or did not bring an accusation. Sorry. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke ye. But these speak evil. Talking about these men who creep in now. Speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. That Cain loved religion, but he hated God. He hated the blood. That's what they really need to admit, is that really, in truth, they hate God, the God of the Word of the Bible. They hate Him because that's not the image that they want to worship. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, this is where we're going to shoot off for a minute here. Korah was a vain man. He didn't know it, but he was. He's full of vanity. He didn't like God's plan. He hated church order. He despised it. Brother Donnie, he would have hated you. Unfortunately, he would have stuck around and made you feel it for a long time, probably, before he came to his big awakening here. Korah, and most of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the story, but for those of you who might not be, Korah mounted a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, against the priesthood itself. In Numbers 16, verse 3, I skipped out. I'm just taking pieces of this story and putting it together just to give you the highlights. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, see, they keep saying them. They don't want to say they're really thinking this about themselves, especially Korah. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Now what Korah is saying here is he's saying, we are holy too. Now he hated church order. He didn't want to acknowledge this prophet. He didn't want to acknowledge the priesthood that spoke the words of the prophet. He didn't want to acknowledge any of this. He looked at himself and he said, I'm just as good as Moses. Why am I not? Hey, as a matter of fact, you know what? I'm better than Moses. Because I didn't kill anybody. I'm not a murderer. We're holy too. The Lord's among us too. You all, if I were Korah, I would be saying, you all, listen, why are we following this guy? He's a murderer. He's crazy. Look at all this stuff he's having us do. We're wandering around out here. Where's this promised land? Where are we at? Why are we following him? What makes him better than you, Brother Tim? What makes Moses better than you? Don't you have a Bible? What do you need this prophet for? And here's Moses, when they accuse him of this, he's saying, you're lifting yourself above the people, above the congregation. You're making yourself something. You're nothing, but you're making yourself something. You've got all kinds of mistakes in your life. You've got all kinds of things we found wrong, all kinds of things you've done wrong. You're not any better than us. And Aaron goes around saying that this is the way it's supposed to be, but he's wrong too. We can do away with him too. We're a New Testament church. Right? Moses on his face being accused of having a Nicolaitan spirit. Broke his heart. He knew, Moses knew, this is not my motive. I am here because God made me, because God put me here. I'm here because God called me. I didn't even think I could do it, but God told me to, and I did what he said, and he did it. Amen. He delivered us. Amen. Don't you all remember all the signs and wonders? Don't you remember being a slave? Don't you remember the Red Sea parting? Don't you remember the soldiers of Pharaoh being swallowed up? Don't you remember any of that? How can you say this? How can you look at church order knowing all of this and turn your back on it and follow this liar and walk away? How can you do that? And yet, folks, you know it. We're seeing it every day.
Amen.
There is no understanding it. It's a spirit. And when a person gives into it, they're gone. When they give into it, they're gone. The gainsaying of Korah.
That's right.
What a horrible, horrible thing. Loves religion, hates God. Absolutely loves religion, though. Constantly comparing itself, saying, hey, I'm just as good as you. I worship just as good as you. God works among us just like he does you. You don't have to do all that stuff they say. That guy was crazy. He was wrong. I don't know why you're still following him. How long's he been dead now? Sorry, I'm going back and forth, but it's the same story. It's the same story. Let's skip down just a bit to verse 16 in Jude there. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their own mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. It may be chopped up a little bit. I may be a little bit nervous. It may be a little bit, you know, it may not be too slick and too clean of a presentation. But what this you're seeing is mercy. The time is so short right now. The time is so short. The bride is loading, the wagons are loaded. We're almost gone. We're almost gone. We've heard the word proclaimed by God Himself, standing right here through the preaching. We've heard it. We know that it's almost over. It's almost up. It's almost gone. And this is mercy, because God's saying, look, I care enough to warn you one more time. I'm even leaving provision here where you can go out and maybe pull one in. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference.
Amen.
Okay, here's the challenge. Here's where it gets tough. We can't be slack. Yes, the wagons are loaded. Yes, we're getting ready to leave. Yes, the prophecies are fulfilled. Everything's coming together. Everything's head, you know, coming right to the point where all the prophecies are at our doorstep. But what about each one of us as individuals? What about each one of us? How long has it been? How long has it been since we did a checkup? How long has it been since we self-examined? How long has it been since we really looked deep inside and said, what is my desires? What is my desire? What am I showing the world? Am I answering my calling? How much do I love my Lord? How much do I love Him? Do I really love Him? How much am I willing to sacrifice? Am I under the spell of Laodicea? Am I falling asleep? Brother Branham said we would know if we had the Holy Ghost by our desires. You could check your desires and you know. What is our desire? I'm going to hammer this a minute. Let's think about it. Let's look. Let's look. What are we doing? What are we doing? Do we run people down? Or do we throw them a lifeline? Well, we need to write this one off, and we need to write that one off. They're falling. They said there's too much work. They're just too hard. Too much work. I don't want to step into pastor territory, so I'm speaking to the bride in general, speaking to the person who calls himself a Christian in general. Do you remember the days when the Lord broke you, bent you over, poured you out, and laid your life in front of you? brought you to repentance. And you got everything right with the Lord. Do you remember that day? Do you remember how precious it was to you when you rose up forgiven? And he started working on you and sanctifying you and bringing you to the light. Do you remember when you had your first experience with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember when He filled you up to where you couldn't take any more and you maybe reacted some way? Do you remember that those days? Do you long for Him now? Do you seek Him daily? Are we checking up? Are we reaching out in love? How long has it been since you witnessed? How can a person witness if they don't have an experience with Jesus Christ though? You gotta have a daily experience. I'm not talking about something that happened to you, in 1967. These young people right here, they need us. They need us more than any generation in ever. This is the darkest age. They need us. Have you called your grandson and said, come on over today. I got something I want to talk to you about. How many of your grandchildren know your testimony? I'm not trying to get into pastor territory. I'm sorry, Brother Don. I don't want to do that. I've asked them before. You know this person's testimony. Do you know that person's testimony? They look at me with a blank stare. This world has gotten so complicated. Brother, Brad and Sister Sarah and several ministers went down to Nicaragua. The people down there are desperately poor. And they did a little presentation, showed us the pictures, and you can see how destitute they are for worldly possessions. But the families are close. The Christians, that is. The Christians are close. They share their testimonies. They love each other. They're in order. They practically worship these brothers that went down there because they thought they were so much better than them. Have we let the world creep in to the point where it takes up our time? We're so entertained. Has it creeped in enough to where the loving bond of the church body is not what it should be? When you see one that's fallen along the wayside and backslid and has been gone and they risk coming back one more time, do we rejoice? Or do we condemn? There's nothing that frees your heart and opens it up and breaks away that stony shell like finding your enemy and making it right.
Amen.
There's nothing that'll reignite the fire. You got to think Moses was in his 80s, right, when all this got going good. Reignite the fire. Get share your testimony with these young people. Inspire them. Right now, I'm so happy in the Lord with what I've been seeing. There's been so much maturity and growth and this. I'm so sorry, it's so broken up. I'm so encouraged by what I see among our young people. I'm so encouraged. I'm not trying to start a revival here. I'm not trying to, work you up or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I fight very hard not to do that on purpose. But we need to be one body. We need to be one. We need to be one with each other. Instead of turning on some politician on the radio, we need to pick up a phone. I told you I miss Sister Susan. Because when she told me she prayed for me, I knew she wasn't just being nice or polite. The South, a friend of mine from up north was talking about how horrible the South was. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the people down here are horrible. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they're very, very polite, but they're meaner than striped snakes. He said, they'll grin at you and offer you an iced tea while they stab you in the back and cut you to pieces. And unfortunately, I know exactly what he's talking about. He said, a Yankee, if you ask them a question, they'll tell you the truth. They don't care what you think about the answer. He said, a Southerner will tell you what you want to hear and then talk about you behind your back. And you know, is that creeping in? I don't think so. I don't see it. I'm very free to preach this in a way because I don't know of anybody. I'm not picking on anybody. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm not here to get anybody. He's doing it if it's being done. In Numbers 16, verse 44, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on the incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Amen. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Amen. God was so angry with the fact that they didn't recognize the correct order, that they had tried to burn incense on their own. They tried to take it out. They tried to make the gospel into something it wasn't. Right. He was so livid that he struck these people with a plague. And the very men that were accused falsely were the only thing that stood in the middle of the gap and stopped it. It's so sad to see people who leave this message. They leave the truth. They know, you know, Brother Branham, all the prophets, everyone from Brother Branham back, all the way back, every one of them back to Adam, were men. They were men. If they didn't make mistakes, God would have had to move them out of the way. Because there was the only thing he wanted to, the diamond that he wanted to stand out from amongst it all, the bright star that stood out amongst all the stars, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the focus is. That's what the focus is. And they're, you know, these people, they're shouting, they're sounding, well, Brother Branham, you know, made this mistake and he made that, and it's just human stuff. And they say, well, you know, why, when he was a boy, why did the Lord tell him to, you know, keep himself separate and not smoke and not drink and not chase women and all that? Why did he tell him that, you know, if he wasn't supposed to be perfect? The reason he's not supposed to do things like that is so he'll be an example. You can't have a man standing and preaching that's not a good example. He's got to be an example. But he can't be perfect. Not flawless. And if this isn't enough, people use that as their excuse. They use it as their excuse. They're like, I've wanted out of here forever. I've been so unhappy. I come in here, I sit down, I'm unhappy. I don't like the people. They don't like me. You know, I don't like the legalism. It's all legalism. Yeah. I don't understand anything that preacher's saying, blah, blah, blah. They start the excuses.
That's right.
You know, amen. Maybe just a few months before that, they were standing right up here screaming and getting the victory.
All right.
But yet they resort to that and they fall back to that and they start picking on the prophet, just like Korah did. They start picking on the prophet because that's how they find their excuse. Yeah. All they're looking for is an excuse. Listen, you don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to have an excuse. They even do it with Jesus, Brother Donnie.
That's right.
Well, Jesus drank wine. Do what? That's an excuse, isn't it? Well, Jesus, I can drink all the wine I want to. Jesus drank wine. Just as long as I'm not a drunkard. Jesus didn't drink the same wine these people are drinking. Totally different scenario. You've heard it preached here. I won't go into that. So they look at it in this way and say, well, why did Brother Branham have to keep from smoking? Because somebody would have said, Brother Branham smoked, I can smoke. God knows how it works. He knows how stupid we are. What happens? What happens? You young people, you know about this. One young person does something stupid. Some will say, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did that. Let's pray for them. And some will go, well, they did it. I can do it too. Korah. Same spirit. It'll lead you to destruction. You know what happened to Korah? The earth opened up and swallowed him and his buddies up. Hell enlarged itself. What it comes down to really is there's a spiritual warfare going on. Brother Donnie talked about all the spiritual warfare. I've fought it all my life. The Lord has slowly revealed it to me over time, what's going on. Brother Branham talked about how these spirits don't die. People die, but the spirits don't die. They just move on to somebody else and do the same thing. So really what it comes down to is this. Do you want to be a sucker? Do you want to fall for the game? These devils have been around for eons. They've been around for a long time. And they're really good at tricking people. Who likes to be tricked? You want to be tricked? You want to be the one that falls for it? It comes, you know, there's a dedication that sets in or it doesn't. But victory is something that God doesn't just hand you all the time. He doesn't just make it happen. He doesn't push the magic button and just make it happen. You've got to fight for it. There's going to be something you love. There's going to be something you love. And if you really are honest, you admit it to yourself, you love it. You love it. And you know it's wrong. And you know you can't give it up. Because you love it too much. And until you see your enemy and recognize them and hate them, you can't have victory over them. You know, the Lord, He gave me this sermon. And I guess, like I told Brother Donnie, I guess it was for later on, maybe something for the youth later on down the road. I really loved it. It was full of all kinds of great examples and talking about victory over the flesh and everything. And this has been kind of a chopped up mess and it's been really hard. But it's so important. And I've got to just trust that God gave me this to give you tonight. I've got to trust that He didn't put me up here and just to, you know, just to waste your time and send you home with nothing. We have family members and friends and loved ones who are in dire trouble right now, and they need us. They need us. And we've got to shake off the things of the world and find some victory before we can do anything to help them. Problem with the spirit of Korah is its anointing on the people blind them to the fact that they're rejecting God's ways and His order. They miss the ultimate goal, and that is the perfect glorification of God. Now, in verse 24 of Jude, he says, "Now unto them that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude is one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite preachers also, because he stands right in the face of all the atheists and makes them look foolish. This was a man who was raised with Jesus. This was a man who was in the same household. And yet chose to make him his Lord. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. This man would have never, never acknowledged this if it wasn't the absolute truth.
Amen.
What possible reason would he have? Did he get rich for preaching the gospel? No, he got killed for preaching the gospel. He was martyred.
Amen.
So, when you look at the whole point of all of this, what it really comes down to is there's these two spirits. There's the Holy Ghost in the believer. And then there's those who are like Korah. And a different spirit has a hold of them, a religious spirit. And this religious spirit is leading them astray. And it wants to lead them down a path where they will take the majesty away from the one true God and give it to themselves or to whatever thing they can come up with. And that's what the whole point of the whole thing is. From the very beginning, Satan has wanted nothing more than to deceive and pull away the worship of God. You know this. I'm not teaching you anything new. I'm not telling you anything new. But from the very beginning, that's Satan's goal. I've got to lead them astray. I've got to take them away. I've got to lead them astray. Young people who I have the biggest burden for also will break your heart more than anybody else. Because you watch them, they'll be so devout. They're in a godly home. They're being raised up. They're so devout. They'll truck along. They'll do so good. They get up to be about 13 or 14. And you can start to tell something's happening. You see them starting to drift away. You see them starting to get involved in things they shouldn't. For a while, they act really good at church. But you can tell that something's not quite right. Tell that they're not really attached to the Word. They've not really taken hold. And then something dangerous happens. The spirit of Korah comes on the scene and they start leading others astray. And they'll pull others away to their cause. And they'll lead them out for destruction if they can. And it's because they've been fooled. Because they don't see what time it is. They don't see the gospel, or they won't acknowledge it. And they're given over to destruction. Occasionally you'll see a victory. You'll see one come back. And that's great. But I'll tell you the greatest victory I see among young people. It's when there's a young man or a young woman that takes their place in Christ. And they don't know it, but the younger ones are looking to them. And they're seeing this example, this godly example. And they're saying, that's what I want to be. You have power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have power. Brother Donnie was confiding in me back there a little while ago, and he's talking about how sometimes the Lord will have him, give him a sermon that would put him in an embarrassing situation where he felt like he wanted to preach something so much more, and the Lord just gave him something so simple. Well, I felt the full weight of that tonight, because this was so simple. It was not very emotional. It was not something where the Lord used me the way he normally uses me. Usually he gives me two different subjects that look like they have nothing to do with each other, and then somehow he puts them together. And most of the time he doesn't do it until I come out here and I'm scared to death because I don't know how he's going to do it, and then it happens. And so I know it's the Lord, and I know it wasn't me. But tonight he gave me one subject that tied in the Old Testament to the New. And the spirit that had not died, that has wormed its way and snaked its way all the way up to this age, and has led people I love away from the truth to destruction if they don't turn around. And I stand here tonight and I'm brokenhearted. I've always wanted to be a preacher like Brother Donnie or Brother Siler or one of these brothers that can, the power of the word comes through them with such force that it ignites the whole congregation into a frenzy. I've always longed to be that kind of preacher. But the Lord doesn't use me that way, and I'm satisfied, and I'm happy just the way I am. But because of what we have seen here tonight, because of this spirit that is still here, that's still warring against the body, I have lost people I love. And the sad thing is, the deception doesn't stop there. They think we hate them. Because we foolishly debate them sometimes. They think we hate them. But just to set the record straight, I don't hate anybody. I don't want to best anybody in some saber-rattling debate. I just want them to bow to the same sovereign King I do.
Amen.
I want them to love the same Lord I do. I want them to have the same victory I've gotten.
Sure.
Yes. I don't deserve it. If you want to look at me close enough, like you've been picking Brother Branham to death, you'll find failure in me too. But my King is perfect.
Amen.
And He is faultless.
Amen.
And I've given Him my life. And He gets to keep it. So the simplicity of this, and the truth of this, is alive. And I make no apologies whatsoever. Because Satan has been exposed. You need to pray for the men of God who bring you the word. You need to pray for those who labor in the word and bring it to you, because it's constant accusation. It's constant turmoil. It's constant pressure. All the time. And then on top of that, the secular world is coming in on us. And that pressure that we're going to feel right before we go is starting. And so, you know, like we hear over and over and over again, but it's true and it's going to happen. That pressure is going to come right through these doors one of these days. I don't know for how long or what it'll be. Maybe what we're seeing is the biggest part of it. I'm not sure. I'm not a prophet. But I will tell you this. You don't have to look hard to see this spirit. You don't have to look hard to see how people are being fooled. So just be honest and look at it honestly and say, am I making excuses? Am I making excuses? God has put you under this ministry for a reason if you're here. You may have sat here and stubbornly fought this man for years without really knowing that's what you were doing or meaning to. I'm not picking on you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. It's like the Lord said, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why? You know, if you want to go to a man of God and you want to talk to him, you think maybe you disagree about something, or all you got to do is just make sure that you pray and that you get anything negative behind you, that you love that man.
Sure.
That you love him with all your heart.
Right.
That you honor the position that God's placed him in.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he doesn't feel like he deserves it.
Right.
Go to Him. Ask Him to pray for you. Get rid of the conflict. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of all the background. Get your victory back. So many people are sitting around fooled. I'm gonna wrap it up now. So many people are sitting around fooled. Musicians, if you'd like to come, and Brother Donnie, if you'd like to get ready to close up. I couldn't stand being fooled. I never could stand being fooled. I loved magic tricks and I hated them at the same time when I was a kid, because I'd watch it and I'd be so amazed and I'd be like, how did they do that? And I could not rest until I knew how they did it, because I hated to be fooled. And I can't understand somebody who says, yeah, we're a New Testament church. Grace takes care of everything. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't believe you have to do all that. I see the mistakes in Brother Brown, blah, blah, blah. However you want to say it, whatever the argument is, I can't see how somebody can sit there and say, here in the Scripture is the program of God. Here is the order. Here are the examples of what happened when men of God were treated the wrong way. Here's what happened when people got the wrong idea and the wrong spirit. Here's what happened. Here's the example, warning after warning after warning. And then Jude comes back and he looks and he says, look back at this. Look, remind yourself, remember, go back. We're at the very end. This is specific to this age. Jude was speaking to us. Another reason to love him. He was speaking to us. Brother Bram said he was a prophet and he was speaking to us. I think that's worthy of being listened to. He said the problem was going to be the gainsaying of Korah. My gosh, wake up.
Amen.
Wake up.
Yes,
I want to scream it. Wake up.
Yes, sir, brother.
God, it's breaking my heart. Please, people, please pray. Pray for these folks. They're so blind. They're so blind. Please pray for them. Pray for each other. Let's get stronger. Let's get stronger. Let's quit focusing on the darkness of this age and let's start loving each other.
Amen.
God bless you.
We are told of a story. It was a man who had a son. This man was the boss of the armor packing company. His son had been looking for a wife for a long time. Lived in the city of Chicago. Lots of women in that place, no doubt. One of the ranches that he had was out west. So he decided he would go out west. Whenever they heard about it, they began to make ready for this man's coming. The boss there ran the ranch, had several daughters, and they were all sure and certain one of them was going to wind up with him. So they began to put on their great Western shows and their celebrations. It was dancing and doing all these things night after night. This boss's son got real tired of all this stuff, just wore him out. So one night he leaves the house, goes outside to get a little bit of fresh air. And when he does, he sees a young lady, real poor, no shoes on her feet. She has a pan of dishwater in her hands. So he watches her. She comes down through there and he steps over to where she's at and said, "Who are you?" She refused to look at him. This was the boss's son. He said, "Why aren't you in there with them? I haven't seen you." She said, She began to make excuse. I have to do this. So she goes back in. The next night, he comes back out again. Sits on the fence. Waits for her. Waits. Here she comes. He says, "You know why I'm here?" She said, "No, sir. How could I know? I don't know why you're here." He said, "I'm here looking for a wife. And you meet my requirement." I see in you everything that I'm looking for a wife. Will you marry me? He said, sir, I couldn't. He said, no, will you marry me? And she said, Yes. I love the way Brother Bam tells that in the fifth seal. Yes. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to be faithful. A year from day, I'll be back. She began to work, prepare. When her cousins heard what she had believed, the message from this man, they began to laugh at her, make fun of her, ridicule her, and said, you silly girl. Do you honestly believe if he was going to marry anybody, it would be one of us? The day come, she put on her wedding gown, and boy, when she got ready, they really ridiculed her. They made fun. They danced around her, went around. She got her flowers, standing out there waiting, just waiting. They ridiculed, you silly girl. How could you? He promised me. Why, he was only teasing you. He promised me. Glory to God. What was she doing? Suffering persecution because she believed this message that was given to her that she was the bride. They laughed, they ridiculed. She stood there and waited and waited. Said, he's not coming, he's not coming. She said, I've got 5 more minutes. She stood there and waited and waited, waited. All of a sudden, she heard the wagons coming. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Don't you appreciate it when God sends you a wagon load of His Word? Rebuke, correction, spanking, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we going to be persecuted, laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed, called names? Oh, yes. That's to be expected. But the church that isn't being persecuted hasn't got it and is not of God. That's exactly right. I'm glad to be identified with the persecuted word. I'm glad to be identified with the message that the devil so hates that he'll fabricate things if he has to. We ought to consider it a compliment and an honor that the devil has to make up stuff. Praise be to God. You appreciate the word of God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you notice that last verse that he wrote there, that he read? The way Jude wrote it, when he said that he wanted to present you faultless. Did you see them last few words there in that verse? With exceeding joy. Now the exceeding joy in the way that it was written in there in the third person, it was not us having the joy. It was him. Him. When he will be able to present a bride without spot, without wrinkle. I told Carol the other day as I was listening to the seals coming home. I said, oh, you're talking about a wonderful time when the bride will be presented. She's being washed. She's being purified. That's all that's going on right now. But she's not yet been presented. But she will be presented, for he will present her to himself. A glorious church. I plan on being there. By the grace of God. Whatever I have to hear, whatever I've got to do, however I've got to live, whatever I need to do, I want to do it so I can be presented that day. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that these things have been written for our admonition. The examples that's been written in the word. Lord, we thank you for men like Jude. We thank you even when you were here on the earth, Lord Jesus. After you spoke in Luke 17 about the revealing of the Son of Man, then you come on down a couple more verses and you said, remember Lot's wife. So after the revealing of the Son of Man, there would need to be an admonition to remember Lot's wife. Why? Why? For as after the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham, that Lot's wife backslid away from that message. She left after the Son of Man was revealed. She left the truth of the hour and went to Sodom. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We will shun away from Laodicea and its coldness. Lord, as our brother has spoken to us here tonight, Father, no matter what anybody does to us, help us that we will never let hate get in our hearts. Help us that we will never let strife and enmity and jealousy and envy and any of those things, Lord, that just corrupts the Holy Ghost. No matter what people do, Lord, may we love and pray for them just as you did. Keep us like you, Lord Jesus. Keep us to where you can use us, Lord. Oh, Father, where we can be able to be molded into the image of a real son and daughter of God. Grant it, Lord. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Would you just raise your hand? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we raise our hands in your presence. These hands that were uplifted signified a need, Lord. Whether it's physical, spiritual, you know it, Lord. You're able to look right down inside of every heart. Those that streamed the service, though we physically couldn't see them, you saw their hand as well, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us, I pray, Father. Keep us in love with you, Lord. May the flame not die. May the fire not turn to ashes and smoke and smolder. But Lord Jesus, may we be in love with you more now than ever before. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. You're our first, our last, our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning, our end. You're our joy. You're our peace. You're the reason we get up of a morning, Lord. You're the reason we live. You're the reason we sing. You're the one we worship. You're the one we adore. You're the one we acknowledge as being our God, our King. We refuse to worship Allah. We refuse to worship Satan. We refuse to worship ourselves. We will worship the true and the living God, the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May these things go into our hearts, Father. May you search each of us. Begin with me tonight, Lord, as the pastor. Begin with me. Search me. See if there's anything you find in me, Lord, that displeases you. I want to be able to not only preach the truth, but live it, represent it, oh God, that the word can be made flesh in my life. I don't want to just quote it, Lord. I want to be that word. A written epistle. Read and known of all men. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, may you come and bring your oil and your wine. Come in, Lord, and just pour it in on top of this word that we've heard tonight. May it stimulate our hearts. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray you bless Brother West, Lord. May you strengthen him, dear God. Thank you, Father, for your men servants that desire to obey you more than just tickle our ears. We know it's one of the signs of the last days that preachers would be ear ticklers, Father, because that's what the people want. But thank you, Lord, for some people who want to hear the truth. May we always have that desire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Can we just worship Him just a little before we go? Oh, bless Your name, Lord Jesus. Bless Your name, Lord Jesus. May Your healing virtue go through this way tonight, Lord. If there's some that's weary and they need strength, some that's discouraged, oh Lamb of God, may the Holy Ghost pass this way tonight, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah. Maybe there's some standing here with a wedding garment on, and Lord, the sarcasm of their cousins or the, Lord, the words they're just saying, and they might dishearten them. May they be encouraged. Lord, may they have their ear tuned to hear the wagons coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For soon they'll turn and take us the other way. Praise be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We believe that time is swiftly approaching, Lord. We want to be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Harry, let's sing, I'm going home. I'm going soon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Friends, there's no way we can know how long it'll be. We'll have to continue our work and our jobs and do the things that we're doing. But we want to live every day as if though it were our last. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Let's sing it now. I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going home. Chorus again. Let's sing it together. Amen. Oh, I'm going home. I've always been, Lord, a stranger here, but now I'm going. No more tears, no more pain. There'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more heartaches forever. Yes, Lord. Oh, no more crying. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I've always been a stranger here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's sing it again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. Thank you, Lord. No more heartaches forever. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my Father, stranger here, but now I'm home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands? Oh, is that cutting me tonight, Brother Donnie? Well, raise your hands up real good and high. Let the Lord pour in a little oil. Let Him pour a little oil in your wounds so you'll heal up real good. It'll help you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord, that comes and cuts us and trims us, helps us to see our shortcomings, Father. Thank you that we have a teachable attitude, a teachable spirit, that when we see we are wrong, Lord, that we can be corrected by your word. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. May we always be teachable, Lord. May we always be a people that can be corrected when we see we're wrong. When, oh Lord, it was Uzziah that got to a spot that nobody could tell him anything. Lord, the priests that were above him and the prophet's word that was above him and all of that. But he finally got to a spot he wouldn't listen to nobody. Lord, help us that we never come to such a place, Lord. May we always have a teachable spirit, a teachable attitude, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, that the King will be our ruler. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, blessed Father. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We just worship you, Lord. I know it's Wednesday and you got things to do, but I just feel His presence is right here among us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Minister to the needs of your children, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you, Lord, because you're worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many loves Him with all your heart? You love Him with all your heart. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Fathers, we come to the close of the service. I pray you'd go with your children now, Lord. Bring us back this weekend if it be pleasing to you. Once again, that you can speak to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for watching over the people. I thank you for watching over Carol and I as we travel, Lord, many, many miles. And Lord, the meetings in Tucson and Phoenix, so appreciate you bringing us back home safely. Lord, I just pray that you'd help each of us, that we can be here in this body what you've ordained us to be. Help us, I pray, Father, that we'll find our place in the ranks and we'll not break those ranks, but we'll stay there, Lord, until death sets us free, until the rapture calls us away. May we be found faithful, Lord Jesus, for we know those who came out of heaven with you on white horses, they were called and chosen and faithful. Praise be to God. May that be my testimony. May that be the reflection of my walk, Lord, that I was called, chosen, and faithful to the call. Grant it, dear God. Go with your people now. Bring us back, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
And he said, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Turn and shake somebody's hand. Tell them, I'm glad I got to come to church tonight. I'm glad you got to come to church tonight, Brother Horn. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Brother Benton, come up and sing your song for us, buddy. I claim the blood. Hallelujah. God bless you. We'll be dismissed as Brother Benton sings this together as we go.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood just for for all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When not in healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Once again, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains just for me, for all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. I do not know how others make it through, but never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with a peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious glory. Aren't you glad for the blood tonight? I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing,
I claim those precious blood stains. Sing it again. I claim the blood Jesus shed. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For my sin, for my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Sing it again. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I I claim those precious blood stains. Oh, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power, glory from above. Hallelujah. I'm covered over, glory, by a shield of love. Hallelujah. Glory. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.